There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Romans chapter 8. Our text is taken from verses 14 to verse 17. We've been considering this thought that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And with that thought, we've been considering what some have reckoned to be the greatest chapter in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. It begins with these words, no condemnation, and it ends with these words, no separation. And that is something that we constantly need to be reminded of. When our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. And there's a message in the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning that you cannot make up, you cannot buy, but what you can do is experience. You can experience it in him and through him. And what happens in this chapter is that there is argument after argument of why there is now no condemnation. And we've looked at that very first one. It's because of the great work that God has done, that he now has set us free from the law of sin and of death, that this great God sent his only begotten Son into this world on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. What the law could not do because it was weak, God, in sending his Son, that he has done now that with the law of God and with our sin, we can know there is no condemnation. And then last week we looked at this, because of the Spirit which comes within us, And because of that, we now know of a new life. A life then which we don't have to serve the things of sin and of the flesh, which lead then to death and lead to condemnation. But then you know now of a life of peace and of joy. And you know also, not that we're perfect, because sin remains in us, but it doesn't reign in us, that you can come to a place where you can say no, and you can say stop, and you can say, I am not going to that place, because the Spirit of God and the Spirit of life which is in us. But now this morning, there's even a greater thought. Incredible as it is, there is another reason. And please, let's just pause for a moment, because sometimes people tell us things and teach us things, and they tell us that, you know, a person could become a Christian, and yet, you know, we've always got this thought of being lost and the thought of falling. Well, look, please just pause for a moment, because not only are we forgiven and we have now come and experienced new life, we have a new position which is with God. We are now the children of God, the children of God. And you know what it's like perhaps to be a parent, and you know what it is definitely to have been a child and to know that relationship. And here's this wonderful, wonderful reason that now you are the children of God. And because you're children of God, you're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And one day you'll be glorified with him. And first of all then, just three things from these four verses. The first of all is this, the children of God. For as many as are led, verse 14, by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that first of all, that you would know now this morning of this experience of being led by the Spirit. There are those who say that they believe that they are led by the Spirit, but they're not. There are those who believe that they're the children of God, but they're not. But as many that are led by the Spirit of God are truly the children of God. And what happens is this, is that when Jesus Christ comes into a person's life, the Holy Spirit comes within you. We're not speaking now about religion, ethics, or morals as such. Now, don't get us wrong. To be a Christian, you would know each and every one of those things. But you're not a Christian simply because you may have some ethical life that you're leading, some moral life that you're leading, a religious life that you're leading. I've known those who have claimed to be Christian but don't believe in God. There are those who are followers of Jesus and they're atheists, but they take Jesus as their example. He's got high standards. He's got great values. He's got wonderful principles. And although they may claim then to live the Christian life, I assure you today, they are not led by the Spirit of God. They don't believe in God. They don't know of the Spirit of God. And it can happen within our own living, as religious and of ritual that we have. If you went through the major denominations in the world, there are those which are filled with great laws of do's and of don'ts. And as you've got and you follow those laws, people think that they're Christians. There are those who actually believe that if you were to come to a child and you would sprinkle them and baptize them and christen them, that they then would become the children of God. Listen very carefully. As many as led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And having water on your forehead and going through a religious ceremony, or even just putting your hand up and saying the sinner's prayer, that doesn't make you a Christian in any shape or any form. You need to know whether you're led by the Spirit of God and the things of God. You see, you can have all that, but in reality, your life may be lived in another direction. And let me explain it to you, what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. I don't know, I shouldn't do it, but I did listen to that radio again this morning, and what happened in the service is that they were speaking of Pentecost and of how the Spirit comes down, which we want to preach. But what they were teaching was this, is how the Spirit then leads you into some kind of help from psychoanalysis, leads you now to help from your vulnerability. See, people are talking a lot about the Spirit, but they haven't got a clue what they're talking about. To be led by the Spirit is not to be taken into the world and aided by the things of the world. How do you know that you've been led by the Spirit? I assure you, you can say you've been led by the Spirit because of this. The Spirit will always lead you to Christ, and you will know of coming then to Him. For someone who's been led by the Spirit will know what it is to have been definitely led to Calvary, led to confess their sins, led to repentance. A person who is led to the Spirit, you'll be led. You know, people say, I know of the Spirit's leading. Well, I hope you do, because He will lead you to this book, to where you can find the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will lead you to the place where you can come and you can know Him. He can lead you to a place where that gospel is preached. Let me give you an example. It's found there, a wonderful example. It's in Luke chapter 2. And it's found there in verse 25, when the Lord Jesus Christ was just being born and He was presented in the temple. There was a man, Simeon, in verse 25. He was just and devout, and this is it, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And if you say, do you know today that you've known something of the leading of the Spirit will always lead you to Jesus Christ. And although you may have been brought up and taken to a place of worship, yet the reality is this, you have come and you can say as you look back, God has led me in the places I've been. There was a time when I knew not the gospel, but He led me to a place of worship where the gospel was preached. He led me to a book which I read, which told me about Jesus. He led me to the very things of this Word of God. All the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? And if you are now a child of God this morning, you're going to say in your life, you know what it is to be led. You can find that in the most well-known portion of Scripture, in Psalm 23. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me, you know, in green pastures. And if you are someone who knows of that today, that when you become a Christian, the great blessing is this. Not only does He forgive us our sins, but that you know in your life, we're being told here, that you've also become the children of God. You know, relationship with the great God Almighty Himself. And that's the first thing that we know in our experience, is that we are His children, is that we're led of Him. But then in verse 15, there's something else which leads us on to this, of how then we are assured, and we've come also to experience this great news. There's no condemnation. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And not only do you know of being led by the Spirit, but you know the spirit of adoption which you now have received. Let me try and explain it. And I'll explain it again in a negative. and also in a positive. There it is in verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And one of the things that living in this world without the Lord Jesus Christ is living in a world where people are bound, they're in bondage to sin, to transgression, live in fear. We knew that only a few years ago, the great fear that people have, those who don't know God. And when the person comes to Jesus Christ, he has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And what you find is this, that in our experiences, that we can have that spirit of fear upon us. Those who don't know Christ know of this. But when a person begins to become a Christian, one of the things that happens is this. Although we may fear many things in life, the one thing that people don't seem to fear is God himself. There's a lack of it. That's the problem in our nation. No fear of God. But one of the things that happens when God begins to work on you is that he begins to quicken you, as the hymn writer puts it. Grace has caused my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. And the Spirit of God is sent into this world, and one of the things he does is that he convinces the world and convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And all of a sudden, when I was happy in my life, when God's Spirit comes, look, he does come and convict us of this. But you need to know, and please understand it, that with the gospel of Jesus Christ, he has not given you the spirit of fear. And anyone who preaches to you things which make you fearful, the church is full of such things, making you anxious, making you feel uncertain, making you come to a place where you could never know, perhaps, of what it is that you're saved or the dangers which are around. Now, the Bible warns us of these things, and the true Christian trembles at them. But when you look at this verse, it's one of great assurance that you are then the children of God. And so it is in verse 15, but you've received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Christian knows this great cry in their heart. They know of the spirit of adoption. Let me try and explain it to you. That God has one son, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. But those who come to believe in him, you also become the children of God. As many as believed in him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of flesh, but were born of God. But there is also now this very, well, objective aspect. Not only have you been justified, that's legal, that takes place, forgiven, counted righteous. When a person becomes a Christian, you also have this certificate that you are now adopted into his family. Now, I actually read last week, and it wasn't on this text, but it fits in well, that there was an account of a registrar who was called to give a marriage service, as you do, you know, they come, and the registrar is there. And in those days, and even when I can remember here, it used to be before all the technology, since COVID, what you would do is that you'd have to bring the money on the day, on the day. And this registrar actually had said, and in the little book I was reading, they couldn't believe it, but the person who gave the money asked for a receipt. And they said, well, look, the receipt is going to be on your arm. You know that you're going to be married. And there'd be those here, even in this place, although we, you know, you are married, but you don't go looking in the attic to find the certificate every now and again, which tells you you're married. You know that you're married, but you see what God has done. He's given you the spirit of adoption. He's given you something which others don't have, and here it is. You cry, Abba, Father. Something that you never had before, that you now belong to the very family of God. Let me put it to you, is your not relationship with God something like this? Is that first of all you saw God as the great judge and your relationship to him as one who stood condemned and you feared him and you hated him because you were never right before him, and that was your experience of the God. You knew he was there. You know he was out there. You believe in God. You understand that he made the world, but you had this alienation which was from you. There are others who believe God in this sense. Their relationship to him is like a policeman, even sometimes to a thief. He was someone always trying to catch you. And your great kind of plan in the world was to avoid him as much as you can. I wouldn't go to a place of worship. I wouldn't be found in that place. I don't want to come near him. You knew he was there. You knew one day he would catch up with you. But in your experience, he was someone who you didn't want to meet. It may have been in your experience, you were brought to a place of worship and he was like a master and you were the servant. And you came and you did your religious little works and you did your deeds and you said your prayers, but he was far from you. And then there came that day you see where you came and believed in Jesus Christ and his spirit came within you. And then you knew the cry, Father, Father, Abba, Father, of the most intimate way of that experience from the heart, of that relationship which you have. You've been adopted into his family and the spirit of adoption has been placed within you. And even Paul, I know I told you before, and as you read that word, the word Abba, it's not a Greek word, it's an Aramaic word. It's a word, you see, which he would have been brought up with, a word, you see, which he would have used even from his early childhood, from infancy. It was perhaps the first word that you spoke when you were small. You may not have said Abba, but you said Mama, and you said Dada, and everybody's waiting for that first word. It's the word which is born within you. And then now when you became a Christian, Paul must have come to the place and he tells Tertius, who's writing, stop. I don't know if Tertius knew he Aramaic. And pause for a moment. The spirit of adoption that cries, Abba, Abba. And you know of that in your life. Now please just think of this, of what we have come, this great relationship by the Spirit of God which is within us. But then you see there's something else in verse now 16, and there's more, and let me try and explain this too, and explain what it's not and explain what it is. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. It's a great portion of assurance. You belong to him. You mean something to him. You're special to him. You're his very child. And the Spirit himself wants to confirm that into your heart. Now, there are reasons why we're taking this theme. Because assurance is massive in a person's life. Without assurance, you can never enjoy God. You can never come and know, I mean, the full experience of what it is to have that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Without that assurance, you're always going to have that spirit of fear and of bondage. You're not going to have the liberty. Without assurance, you're not going to be able to stand in the wiles of this world in which we live, with all its accusations and all its false teaching. But with assurance, you see, there's that which he gives you. assurance every church needs. We need it this day, for to evangelize the world, the convictions in how we speak, to know what we're saying. And so it is, I'm just saying here, there's also a third work of the Spirit. He leads you by the Spirit. You receive the Spirit of adoption. The Spirit witnesses with your spirit that you are the children of God. Now, let me try and explain. What it is saying here, he is not now witnessing in spite of our spirit. He is not now witnessing instead of our spirit. He is coming in verse 16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, in the scriptures, there is a great work of the Spirit who does witness. And I'll just name three for you. He witnesses to us, he witnesses in us, and he witnesses with us. You find this here, for example, in the book of Hebrews, and chapter 10, and in verse 15. This is what we read, and perhaps you may are experiencing this at this very moment in this very service. For the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before. You see, what happens is this, is as one is speaking today, here in this meeting, what God does, the third person of the Holy Spirit, is that he takes of the things of Christ and he witnesses and testifies. He's the Spirit of truth, that these things which are being said are the things which are true, which are true. And you come to a place of worship, you've been led here by the Spirit, and what he does then, as he witnesses to the things of Christ, of his great work, of his person, of his great achievements, and there's a sense in which not only are you listening now to the minister and to the preacher, but there's another one who is with us, who is ministering to your heart of the reality, of the facts, of the truth, confirming who Jesus Christ is. And you've come and you believe. And then you come and he confirms to you that this word is true and excellent. And you know that in your life. That's part of his work. You find also in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, he actually then begins to witness this and testify this in our hearts. You find it here in verse 10. He who believes in the Son has the witness in himself. And God's Holy Spirit comes and takes of these things of Jesus Christ and he makes them real to you now in your heart, in your heart. They're concerning the truths of God, of his claims, of what we're speaking about. These great realities of Jesus and what he's achieved, you now come and it's witnessed within you. You believe within your heart. Now, there's something else which he begins to do. Now, that's important because what happens in life, and I've noticed it on many occasions, you're going to have people who will come to you and say, you don't believe that word, do you? And there are those in your family which are far more educated than yourself, clever clogs as they are. There are others you see which know more than you in various things. I've seen it on many occasions. But God has done something with you. He has testified to the truth. You've come to see it. You've known it. You believe it in your heart. And no matter what they say, and they twist you and twirl you, and they get all the facts of various things, and you're unsure, but you've got the witness that says, no, this is truth. What you're saying is false. But now, there's something more In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, not only is he witnessing to these very things, but he's witnessing with your spirit that not only these things are true, but that these things are true of you, and that you now are a child of God and a son of God and a daughter. That is this wonderful work of God. There are those who say, I believe everything that you've said, but I just can't seem to believe that I'm saved, that I belong to heaven, that I am those which are in fellowship with God. But when God's Holy Spirit comes, he comes and he works with our spirit, and he assures us, and he comes in such a way that you then belong to him. That adoption that you have received, that certificate that you now carry in your pocket, you also have this wonderful assurance of his love and his affection, and of his great care towards you. You are his in a very special way. That, do you know that? Do you know that? That this is the work of God. See, I cannot convince you at all that you are a child of God. But you do need the Holy Spirit himself. Only he can do it. And the reason only he can do it is because of this. That when a child is born, you know, a mother has an instinctive knowledge that this baby is her child. Her child. They should know they were there. And they're not going to be mistaken in any way. Now, God the Holy Spirit was there in the very beginning, before the world was made, before stars and sun were formed. They were together, and they decreed that a family should belong to them. And there, in their wisdom, God Almighty, he chose a people for himself, that Christ would die and the Holy Spirit would come and waken people's hearts to receive him as their Savior. God, who knows everyone, knows each and every child of his. He was there in the beginning when they decided to have a family. He was there, was he not? The one who has given us new birth from above. He has come. And you have been born again. He knows his children. And the Spirit of God witnesses with your spirit that you belong to him. Let me describe it like this. Only he can do it. If someone said to me this morning, Chris, you won't believe this, but I've got a great lump growing out to the side of my arm. And with all my doctor's knowledge, I say to you, don't worry about it. I think it's fine. And you'd be a bit uncertain. You say, well, hang on. This has been growing and growing. But the minister has said, it's fine. So I'll just take his word at it. Of course you won't. What you will do is this. I need to go to someone who knows. And then you go up to the doctors. And the doctor then, he begins to prod it and he looks at it and he says, well, I think it's benign. I just could be possibly this. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to send you to the specialist. And he's going to look at it. He's going to know. And then you see the news comes back and you're waiting for it. And then you find your letter and the specialist has said that it's fine. And you've had the assurance. And then you know of that full confidence. Now the Spirit himself bears witness, the one who knows, that you are the children of God. Now, this witness of the Spirit, because it's something we all need, the assurance of it in our lives, What I will tell you is there are moments and there are definitely times where God does come. He is so good. We're living in difficult days, desperate times. Oh, we're living in moments that we go through crisis. And you know, God's very good at those times. We begin to question, and perhaps we begin to think that things are not right. Do you know, he is exceptionally good at coming to us, putting his arms around us, taking us to himself, and giving us that assurance with our spirit that we are the children of God. You may be going through such an experience this morning, and these times are very dark. There are moments. Do you know, I could tell you in the town of people who are not even of this theological persuasion, of and going to places I would not even begin to go to. And one lady told me just a number of years, her husband had passed away, and I've known them as long as I've been here. And they go to another church, and you say, well, I don't know if they're Christians in that church. And I say, I don't know either. Who knows? But God knows. And her husband was passing away at a very early age. And he was dying, and I went down, and before I got there, he had gone. She said, Chris, I don't know, because she said, I found myself this morning on the kitchen floor. She said, God just came upon me. This is not a person. I don't know what it is, but the assurance that I have, oh, it's the witness of the Spirit. And you know, he gave it to her at that moment and at that time. Look, just to finish this morning, you find it here in verse 13, because remember, you are led by the Spirit. You've received the Spirit of adoption. You know the Spirit himself bears witness with you that you are his children. And here in verse 17, and if children, then heirs. And heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed you suffer with him, you will be glorified with him together. For those who are his children, there is now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. But there is glory, and there is heaven, and there is that great inheritance. You're his child, and I know you may have not been the best child and the greatest child, but you are his child. And he bought you, and he loves you. And one day he's going to come, and he's going to give you, yes, what you don't deserve. Every single one of us, he knows of that. And you say, in this very place, on verse 17, if, it's the same as verse 9, if, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's a certainty. That's what does actually take place. If, verse 17, if children, that's what you are, then heirs. If you suffer with him, one of the marks of being the child of God this morning is that you will suffer. I mean, you'll suffer in this world, but you'll suffer with Christ. It's one of the marks, not only of adoption, but it's the marks that you belong to him. Blessed are those when people revile you and persecute you and say all manners of evil against you. For that person to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you suffer with Christ. There are tragedies and trials we face. Look, you suffer with him. You are the children of God. You know what it is that Christ suffered. His only begotten Son came into this world and suffered. I told you before, I can't get my head round it. When people say, why does this happen to me? I'm special.
He had one son. Crucified him. He was mocked and reviled and rejected. That's what happened with his son. And now you've become part of the children of God. Now we're living in a day, just to close, as a church, we're not walking in step with the Spirit. We're no longer led by the Spirit, you know. We're led by the spirit of the world. And we're led by the spirit of the age and the spirit of the day. And even in our place of worship, we've got a sensual spirit and a spirit of pleasure and a spirit where everything's going to be fine and going to be happy. Look, you need to know that those who are led by him, oh, you will be led to those paths of righteousness. You'll know that you belong to him. And he will witness to you in the difficulties and trials that you've got. You are his children, and there's an inheritance waiting for us in heaven.